You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News is next. It's now 10 o'clock.
CBS News. Italy, without a government for 2 weeks, has taken emergency steps to defend the value of the lira. I'm Jerry Lande, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Without prior announcement, Italy's caretaker cabinet has ordered the Italian currency exchange market closed until further notice to end a large wave of speculation against the lira. Holders of lira have been exchanging them for other currencies on a massive basis. The Bank of Italy has been forced to spend more than $500 million of its reserves in the past 3 weeks buying up lira to prop up its value. The lira's value against other currencies has been eroded by more than 20% since early 1973. In part, analysts say, because of adverse balance of payment figures, in part because of fear that the Italian Communist Party will gain a voice in the government of Italy if general elections are held. Premier-designate Moro has been trying to form a government without calling elections, so far without success. A new poll says an Italian election could be won by the left. More after this.
Now, from Business Week, here is Peter Roberts with your summary of this week's top business stories.
Ever wonder exactly what it takes to run a publishing and communications empire? You'll want to read about S.I. Newhouse, the man who personally operates what is probably America's most profitable chain of newspapers, magazines, radio stations, and cable TV. Tired of gloomy news about real estate investment trusts? Get the cheerful story of a REIT that's turning big profits. You read the headline stories about the shootout at the Vienna oil talks, but you may be even more startled when you learn what was being discussed at the time. Ever have insurance problems? They're minor compared with those being faced by the casualty insurance industry. And if you'd like to save on a family summer vacation, you can discover how to go about swapping homes here and abroad.
If you want complete details on these business stories, you can get the facts in this week's issue of Business Week. It's on newsstands now. Pick up your copy today. Business Week. When it comes to news, it's all business.
Two newspapers, the Washington Post and New York Times, report that the Internal Revenue Service has reopened an investigation into Richard Nixon's 1969 tax return. The service concluded back in 1974 it did not have enough evidence to accuse the former president of civil tax fraud. Now, the Post reports, informed sources say the IRS can show that Mr. Nixon had knowledge of an improper deduction for his gift of papers to the government. Internal Revenue officials would neither confirm nor deny the reports. If an alleged fraud were proved, the Post says Mr. Nixon would be asked to pay more than $220,000 in deficiency, in interest, and penalty for fraud. Mr. Nixon could contest such an assessment. President Ford's pardon of Mr. Nixon covers only criminal matters, not civil tax fraud. The April 27th primary election in Pennsylvania is considered one of the most significant preliminaries to the conventions, but apparently there's to be no Ford for President storefronts in that state. It's a matter of cash. WCAU reporter Tia O'Brien has details.
President Ford's campaign chairman in Pennsylvania, Drew Lewis, says President Ford will not be opening any local headquarters in the state. Lewis says new federal laws are severely restricting the president's expenditures.
Headquarters are expensive. We will have, hopefully, areas where volunteers can work on telephone banks and things of that type. But the normal campaign, because of the federal laws, will be somewhat limited because we won't have the money to spend that we normally have in a presidential campaign.
Lewis doesn't think President Ford will be hurt by the lack of exposure provided by the local offices. The president is the only major candidate so far who doesn't plan to open a headquarters in Philadelphia, the state's largest city. Pennsylvania sends the third largest delegation to the Republican National Convention. This is T.O. O'Brien for CBS News in Philadelphia.
Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer and former governor of Georgia, is taking pains not to count his chickens. Carter won 30% of the delegates to Iowa County Democratic caucuses, more than any other Democratic contender. But on the basis of his first political test, Carter says the results are premature. President Ford tells the Congress Thursday in the annual budget message specifically how he intends to spend $395 billion in the fiscal year starting in October. Now this.
Most everyone's interested in people who are making news. Supreme Court nominees, political leaders, candidates for public office, cabinet members, and the like. I'm Dallas Townsend, CBS News. Every Sunday on News Profile, I discuss a person who's in the headlines, someone you might like to know more about. Be it a presidential hopeful in the hustings or an unknown thrust into the public eye, I'll try to tell you all about that person and his or her background on News Profile. Listen for the broadcast every Sunday here on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Don DeFore. As you know, many of you from personal experience, there have been spectacular gains in the fight against heart disease. I know. I was one of the lucky ones who benefited from heart research. My life was saved through the miracle of the triple bypass heart operation. But there are still problems to solve to save lives. And that's why we must all support heart research. Please give generously to the Heart Fund.
Madrid riot police used smoke flares, tear gas, helicopters, and water cannon to scatter hundreds of would-be demonstrators in what Spanish opposition parties had billed as the biggest left-wing rally of post-Franco Spain. The opposition is legally banned in that country. The protesters had gathered at the Plaza del Sol in Madrid in support of thousands of striking Spanish workers. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. Weather outlook calls for night and morning fog becoming partly sunny tomorrow afternoon. Increasing high cloudiness late tomorrow with an increasing chance of rain tomorrow night and Thursday. Highs near 50, lows in the mid-30s. In downtown Seattle, currently 37 degrees. The barometer rising, it reads 30.33. Taking a look at sports, a record 12 goals were scored in the National Hockey League's All-Star Game in Philadelphia tonight, with the Prince of Wales Conference earning a 7-5 win over the Clarence Campbell All-Stars. In the National Basketball Association, Buffalo beat Phoenix 112-103, the Knicks over Portland 107-104, Cleveland 98, Boston 85, Detroit dumped Washington 114-107, it was Golden State 116, Kansas City 103, Atlanta beat Chicago 100-86, and Philadelphia 111, Milwaukee 108. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI at 7 past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, Dean of this College of Macabre Knowledge. We are told that we should forgive our enemies, but nowhere are we told that we should forgive our friends. A pity. How easily we recognize those who would destroy us through evil motive. How difficult to perceive those who will ruin us for love. But why is this so surprising? Isn't the road to hell paved with good intentions?
So you see, my dear, we're talking about at least $3 million.
And that's why you hired me. So I could cheat Mr. Gillespie.
Oh, now, cheat is a harsh word.
But it's true. And what will you do with me afterwards?
Why, we shall give you your share.
Won't you just kill me? The way you killed everybody else?
We killed the others because they forced our hand. Give us no motive, and we'll let you live.
Aren't you afraid I'll go to the police?
No, because we will have evidence to show that you were the one who poisoned Mrs. Daimler.
But that's a lie. Oh, I don't want any part of this.
Oh, my dear Miss Watson, what are we proposing? Only to make you fabulously wealthy. Why are you being so difficult about it?
Our mystery drama, Person to be Notified, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Allstate Insurance Companies and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see? to touch the heights you dare to reach, to know you're all that you can be.
It was big news last year when Buick introduced its free-spirited V6, an engine that's gutsy like a V8, but practical like a 6. Well, this year, we're putting that V6 into a brand new package, the full-size 1976 LeSabre. Think about that for a minute. A car with room and comfort for 6, a big trunk, lots of standard comfort and convenience, a car with all that, and V6 power, too. LeSabre, it's more free-spirited than ever. V6 LeSabre, not available in California.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The prophet Joel spoke in the name of God. It shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So pay attention to your visions and dreams. They may contain more than you imagine. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Is love? That's the oldest question in the world. And why? Because no one has ever been able to answer it to the universal satisfaction. Therefore, we keep asking and asking. There is a young man named James Morton. There is a young lady named Sarah Watson. They have nothing in common. They meet by chance. And if they will fall in love in our story, they will be completely unaware of it until, well, we're still almost an hour away from the answer, so let us begin at the beginning. James Morton is the manager of an employment agency.
Please sit down. Have you filled out the application, Miss...
Miss Watson.
Yes, I see. Sarah Watson. You were previously a secretary for Sterrett Valentine, Inc. Well, why'd you leave?
The company went bankrupt.
Oh, yeah, well, that's, Oh, 2 years of college, that's all to the good. Well, I unfortunately, there's very little stirring at this particular time.
Are you saying that you have nothing for me?
Well, not at the moment, perhaps... Well, you know how things are, job-wise. We'll hold your application on file, and if...
Thank you. Goodbye.
One moment. You didn't fill out the application completely.
I'm sure I did.
Well, no. You see the last line where it says person to be notified?
Yes.
Yeah, you left that blank.
I know.
We have a rule at this agency. All forms must be fully filled in.
Fully filled in. Almost sounds like a song.
There's a state regulation to that effect. So would you mind putting down the name of someone?
I can't.
Why not?
Because I don't have anybody.
Oh, well, that's...
That's what?
It's... Well, everybody has somebody to notify.
Well, I don't.
Are you saying you have no family? No friends?
I'm saying there's no one I would care to notify in the event that something happened to me.
I find that difficult to believe.
I am all alone in the world.
Well, no one is that alone.
I am. Goodbye.
But you must fill out the form.
All right. What is your name?
James Morton.
All right, James Morton. There you are.
But you can't put my name down.
Why not?
Well, because it has to be someone who knows you.
Right now, you know more about me than anybody else. You know my name, my age, my address.
But it has to be someone you know.
I know you as well as I know anyone.
But, it has to be someone who means something to you.
No one means more to me than you do. Well, I really need a job, Mr. Morton. I'll take anything. I'll go anywhere. So, if anything at all comes up, please call me, huh? Goodbye.
Miss Watson, just a minute. Did you say you'd go anywhere?
Anywhere at all.
There may be a job.
Okay.
But the reason I didn't think to mention it before is you appear, you know, to be a very attractive young lady.
Yes.
And so, therefore, I'd naturally assume that you'd be unwilling to, I guess the word is, bury yourself on a small private island off the coast of northern Maine.
And why did you make that assumption?
Looking at you, I would assume that you would have a very active, busy social life here in the city. And
I could leave today.
One of the qualifications for this job is that the lady must have no, ties or connections.
I'm qualified.
As I understand it, an elderly gentleman is writing a book. He requires a secretary. It would be rather dull.
Most jobs are.
And he wouldn't want a young lady who would be bored after a while and quit.
Well, I couldn't afford to quit.
Mm-hmm. Well, aren't you going to ask how much the job would pay?
I would expect it to pay as much as my last one.
Mm-hmm. The gentleman's attorney is here in town interviewing applicants. I must say he's having difficulty finding someone. His name is Mr. Carberry.
May I ask if your hair is naturally red, Miss Watson?
And may I ask what business it is of yours, Mr. Carberry?
Well, your prospective employer, Mr. Gillespie, is a rather conservative gentleman who becomes upset at changes.
Well?
And you, young ladies of today, you're constantly altering your appearance, and Mr. Gillespie would find that disconcerting.
Well, I shall do nothing to disconcert Mr. Gillespie.
I notice you're wearing a dress, Miss Watson.
Yes. I believe it's the prescribed female attire.
I know, only at dinner in the evening. In the daytime at Rotherwood, young ladies are expected to wear...
Oh, are there other young ladies?
Oh, no. You'll be the young lady. And Mr. Gillespie is accustomed to seeing young ladies attired in shirtwaists and skirts.
Shirtwaists?
Well, I believe you would call them blouses.
Yeah, well, I don't think I have any.
Well, then you'll be supplied with some. You see, Miss Watson, Mr. Gillespie lives in the past. He chooses to isolate himself on his estate and create an ambience of a bygone era.
When young ladies wore shirtwaists.
Precisely. Now, if you're afraid that might prove dull...
Oh, no, really, I have no objection. I'm not looking for excitement.
One other question. I asked the agency, of course, to screen out of applicants, but one should always double-check for oneself. Have you any relatives?
No.
You're alone in the world?
Completely.
Now, the salary, you will admit, is rather generous. We will pay you $15,000 a year plus room, board, and expenses. I will require you to sign a 2-year contract. Do you object?
Not at all.
Well, then, it's settled. Can you leave on the 15th?
I can leave sooner.
Oh, well, you'll need the time. Now, here's a check for $1,000. You'll have to purchase a suitable wardrobe.
Oh, what are all those papers?
Oh, this is a list of the clothes you should buy to guide you on color and style. And, here are some photographs.
Oh. Oh, I don't think any of this is, my taste.
But then again, none of it is to be bought with your money.
I see.
Well, we shall all get along just splendidly. Now, 9 o'clock the morning of the 15th, you'll go to the airport to gate 116. Mr. Gillespie's private plane will be waiting for you.
How does that square with his old-fashioned attitude?
It's the only concession he makes to reality.
You do not like the arroz con pollo, Senor Wharton?
Oh, yes, it's fine.
But you have not eaten a bite. I have been watching you. You seem to be a thinker tonight.
Yes, Young lady came into my office looking for a job today, and she filled out the usual form in the usual way, and until she came to the last line. You know what the last line requires her to state?
No.
It asks her to list the person to be notified in case of, well, you know, in case of.
I know.
Well, she said she had no one to notify. I couldn't believe it.
Why is it so difficult to believe?
Well, because everybody has someone, a relative, a close friend.
Everyone?
Well, of course, everyone.
Do you, Senor Morton, do you?
How do you ask such a question?
How do you answer it? You come in here almost every night for dinner. Also, on many a Sunday afternoon, you come alone. So, you do not live with a family. You are not married. It is obvious you are not keeping company with a young lady. So, who is there for you to notify?
Well, my partner.
Why do you say, well, didn't you say my partner?
Well, because outside of the business, we don't know each other. We don't see each other. He's a much older man. We have nothing in common except the fact we seem to be able to, you know, run a profitable business.
If, and I pray it shall never come to pass, you should meet with a misfortune, who would grieve for you? Who would miss you?
Well, now that I think of it, Senor Spinola, if I had to fill out that form, I would put down your name.
Tell me about the young lady. Whose name did she finally put down?
Well, she insisted she didn't know anyone. I said she had to have someone, so she wrote down my name.
Ah, and she fell in love with you.
That is ridiculous.
Why else would she write your name down?
Well, because she had to write down something, and I was sitting there.
No, Senor Morton, no. She looked at you, and suddenly her heart was lost.
Oh, come on.
She may not know this yet, but that is why she wrote your name.
These are to be your quarters.
Oh. Oh, my, it's lovely. Well, thank you, Mrs. Dingler. I'm sure I'll be very happy here.
Are you?
Well, of course. I expected a room, but this is a whole suite.
Don't let it go to your head.
Well, I...
Did they say you were to have dinner in the main hall tonight?
Well, frankly, I...
Now, don't be frank with me, because I'm not going to be frank with you.
Well, what do you... I don't understand.
I'm telling you right off. I'm not on your side.
Side? Well, I don't know anything about sides. I just got here.
Yeah. Well, you've got big eyes, and they can get very round. But I don't think it'll help you any more than it helped all the other girls.
What other girl?
Oh, he's coming here now. I can hear his steps in the corridor.
Who's coming?
Pontius Pilate.
Who?
Ah, welcome to Rotherwood, Miss Watson. I see you've met our Mrs. Daimler, probably the best housekeeper in the entire state. Now, will you excuse us, Mrs. Daimler?
Is she going to eat in the Great Hall tonight?
No.
Ah, yeah, I can see why. She isn't ready yet.
I believe that will be all, Mrs. Daimler.
I give her a
you
week.
You are excused, Mrs. Daimler.
She'll get wise to you. The old man will get
Mrs.
wise
Daimler.
To her.
Mrs. Daimler?
All right, I'm leaving.
Did you have a pleasant flight?
Yes.
Find your quarters satisfactory?
Oh, very.
We want you to be comfortable.
Will you answer a question, Mr. Carberry?
Well, of course.
Would you tell me just what is going on around here anyhow?
What indeed? Now, you must admit we've given you several basic facts to chew on. For instance, why would they want a girl who has no ties at all? Why are they offering such an attractive salary? Who is Mrs. Daimler? Who's the old man? What sides are there in conflict here? Well, in the first act, you present. In the second, you unfold. And I shall take you into my confidence after your announcer takes you into his for the next few moments.
Allstate asks, do you own a small business? Go over these questions with your present group health and life insurance agent. If your agent doesn't say yes to every one, then
talk to the good hands people.
First question. Does your present major medical benefit keep on paying no matter how expensive the accident or illness becomes? If not,
talk to the good hands people.
Is your present plan designed to pay up to 95% of hospital expenses? If not,
talk to the good hands people. You're in good hands with Allstate.
See your Allstate agent to find out what an Allstate plan costs, what is and isn't covered, including benefit reductions and terms under which insurance continues in force. Allstate Insurance Companies, available in most states to businesses that qualify.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
Why would a girl, an attractive, desirable girl, cut herself off from all social opportunities and take a job in a mansion on an island off the coast of Maine? Why would her employer insist on a girl whose absence would, in effect, cause no concern to anyone? Well, that's how jobs are filled, no? By employers and employees who fill each other's needs.
Mr. Carberry, tell me, what is going on around here? Why did Mrs. Daimler say I wasn't ready? Ready for what?
Oh, you mustn't listen to what Mrs. Daimler says.
Mrs. Daimler implied that there was a whole series of girls hired before me.
Ah, yes. Unfortunately, none of them proved satisfactory.
Why?
The job will require infinite delicacy and tact.
Describe the job.
You're to help Mr. Gillespie with his book.
When do I meet Mr. Gillespie?
Miss Watson, Mr. Gillespie must be humored at all times.
Well, I'm not sure I'm willing to.
It's part of your job. Now, when you are introduced to him, he will call you Regina.
Why?
Because that's who he will think you are.
Again, why?
Because you look like Regina.
Regina who?
Miss Regina Trumbull.
Tell me, Mr. Carberry, is that why I was hired?
Yes.
Well, I think I should like to leave at once.
You signed a contract.
I can't be held to that contract. I wasn't aware of all the facts.
You signed a contract to be Mr. Gillespie's secretary. That's the only fact.
Then why must I pose as Miss Regina Trumbull?
To make it possible to perform your duties. You see, Mr. Gillespie could only feel comfortable with Miss Regina Trumbull.
Well, then why not hire Miss Trumbull?
She, died many years ago.
Then how can you make Mr. Gillespie
believe... Oh, Mr. Gillespie has never been able to accept the fact of her death.
You're not up to anything illegal here, are you?
Oh, I assure you. Everything is completely above board.
You got a minute, Frank?
Yeah, sure.
You remember that girl we sent up to Maine?
Huh? Oh, yeah, that was a good commission. A lot of dough for just a secretary.
Yeah, that's what bothers me.
Well, why should it bother you?
Now, Why should they want to pay so high?
Well, it is way up at the end of nowhere.
Well, even so, throw in room, board, expenses, it's worth another $5,000. $20,000 for a secretary?
Well, why is that our business, Jack?
And why did they insist on a girl who's all alone in the world?
A man's got a right to set up the requirements if he's willing to pay the prices.
Frank, if that girl were to disappear, who would know about it?
Why would she disappear?
I'm only speculating.
Well, why? The girl's gone, isn't she? We're through with her.
That's hardly the way to put it.
Now, what other way is there? Look, you and me, we've been partners close to 10 years. Now, we've been pretty successful. Why? We have nothing to do with each other outside of the office. But for the first time, I'm going to say something personal to you. Get married.
Get married?
You don't have anything against women, do you?
No.
Well, then get married. It's economical. It's practical. And you won't have to make up fantasy stories about every good-looking dame who walks in here.
Ah, good morning, Miss Watson.
Good morning.
I'm sure you slept well. The ocean air here is so invigorating.
As a matter of fact, I slept poorly.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Why?
This morning, before breakfast, I went for a walk.
Ah, now, that's an excellent practice.
We're on an island, completely out of sight of the coast.
Of course. Privacy is essential for Mr. Gillespie.
And the only way off is by boat. There are several boats tied up to a dock, and a man is there. And he has a gun.
Oh, yes, that's our Mr. Spencer.
And I told him that I wanted to take a boat out for a while. Why did he refuse me?
Those are his orders.
Why?
You'll understand him in time.
And then, when I returned to the house, I picked up the telephone.
Oh, did you?
Yes. I wanted to call the sheriff and tell him that I'm being held here. But I couldn't get an outside line.
I know. There's only one outside line, and it's locked.
Am I a prisoner?
Oh, of course not.
Then why do you refuse to let me leave?
You will leave at the proper time.
And when will that be?
When the job is finished.
Then how can you say I'm not a prisoner?
Oh, my dear young lady, the job has certain conditions.
Why weren't they explained to me?
They were stated in the contract. It's no one's fault but yours if you didn't read it.
And suppose I refuse to perform any services?
That would not be in your best interests. I would advise you to do as you're told.
Or else?
Oh, now, why do you insist on proposing all these hypothetical conditions? Well, if we're finished with breakfast, would you care to meet Mr. Gillespie?
It says here on your application that you worked for Sterrett Valentine, Miss Collins.
Until they went busted. And I should have seen the handwriting on the wall, but, you know, they offer this profit sharing and pension plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? It's all down the drain now.
Yeah. Would you, did you know a Miss Sarah Watson?
Sarah? Oh, sure.
You know, what type of person was she?
I don't know. I mean, she worked the next desk to mine for 5 years, but I never got to know her.
Why not?
Well, the rest of the girls and I, we figured it out finally. She was a loner.
A loner?
Well, there are some people in this world, they're just loners. They won't or they can't make friends, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I had to bring her form over to personnel. And you know that place where it says person to be notified?
Yeah.
Well, she left it blank. So I reminded her, and she said she had no family.
Was it true?
Well, yeah, I guess. And she had no friends that anybody knew. I don't know, some people just can't seem to reach out and connect with other people. Maybe it's the way they were brought up, or weren't brought up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
And now, Miss Watson, you're to agree with everything Mr. Gillespie says. Do you understand? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Look who's here.
Regina.
Yes. You always say you found Regina. You're always wrong.
Oh, no, this time it is Regina, Mr. Gillespie. Look, you see, she's come back.
Is it finally Regina? At last?
Can there be any doubt of it? Can you mistake that brilliant red hair?
Regina. Regina, speak to me.
Oh, sir.
You mustn't call me sir.
Sir, listen.
I realize you're angry with me. And you had reason to be.
Sir, something is going on here. And I don't know what it is.
Regina, you know you mustn't make Mr. Gillespie angry.
I'm not Regina. Sir, this man here is trying to do something to you, which I know must be illegal.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's my Regina, all right. A pretty head filled with all kinds of romantic nonsense. Sit. We'll talk for a moment.
But don't you understand?
I understand everything. Now, you will not leave me again. Promise? Even if I should be mean to you. Promise. Now, you must promise.
Well, go ahead, Regina. Promise.
Regina, I shall be very much displeased. And perhaps I shall not let you have the diamonds after all. Now, you must promise. Very well. You shall sit here until you promise.
I'll stay here until you finish the book.
The book? Oh, the book. Well, I know you. You know, I'll never write that book. I delude myself. Well, I caught you. If you'll stay here till I finish the book, then you'll stay here forever.
Where is everybody this evening, Mrs. Daimler?
Do you miss them?
No.
Mr. Cobber has got some business to tend to, and the old man's tired, so we aren't going to have a big formal dinner. Listen, I was wrong about you.
Oh?
I heard how you spoke to the old man this afternoon.
I didn't notice
you. Oh, I get to hear everything. You're all right. You aren't in on it.
In on what?
Whatever it is, Cobber has got in mind. Now, the other girls who came here, they must have been willing to go along.
What do you mean by going along?
Look, I've been working here 30 years. Now, maybe, 10 years ago, Mr. Cobber, he gets to be the old man's lawyer. Suddenly, the old man goes crazy. Well, you see him, he's off the deep end.
Well, he's senile, isn't he? He must be well over 80.
He was a young man the day I came to work here. He was no older than me. He can't even be 60 yet.
Oh, but that's hard to believe.
Oh, I figured it out. Carberry's got him on some kind of a drug.
Oh. Well, what are we going to do?
We'll have to get out of here.
And how? The boats are locked up.
I have a key. Here, you take it.
What are we going to do?
Now, we'll go to the town, try to talk to the sheriff.
Will he believe us?
I got a bottle of the drugs that Carberry's been using. He'll have to believe us.
Why did you wait so long?
I wasn't sure until just now. Now, look, we'll wait till, about midnight. Then you come by my room, and we'll head for the dock.
Yes. Yes, you're Regina. I'm sure of it. Do you remember what I said about the diamonds?
The diamonds?
You don't remember the diamonds? How could you forget the diamonds? After all, they are your diamonds.
Oh, the diamonds, yes, yes, Mr. Gillespie.
Oh, it isn't right for you to call me Mr. Gillespie. After what we've been to each other, I should think Edmund would be, proper.
Edmund?
I was wrong about the diamonds. As said $1 million invested in diamonds would be dead money. Put it in the market. Well, as it happened, the diamonds have tripled in value. Just the times, I suppose. Regina, will you breakfast with me tomorrow, and I'll explain more about the diamonds. I'm so tired now. I just want to get to sleep.
Mrs. Daimler. Mrs. Daimler, are you ready? Mrs. Daimler? Mrs. Daimler? Oh! Mrs. Daimler! Are you all right?
Obviously, my dear.
What?
She is not all right.
What are you doing here?
I think poor Mrs. Daimler is dead.
I think poor Mrs. Daimler is dead. Notice how Mr. Carberry phrases these things. Well, obviously she's dead. The question is how and by whose hand. Well, you can expect the unusual to happen on remote islands. Other things are also scheduled to happen when I return to you in just a few moments with Act 3.
There's no place like Singer.
It's the savings of 76, and only Singer gives you the fabulous Futura 2 sewing machine with 16 exclusives, including Flip and Sew, the two-way sewing service for free arm sewing of cuffs, pant legs, sleeves. And it has our magic button holder, the Futura 2, now $96 off regular price and cabinet. The savings of 76.
There's no place like Singer.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and postnasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Hello, I'm Dolly Parton. Have you ever watched a weaver at his trade? Shuttles weaving faster and faster on the loom, creating a design where none has been before. And come to think of it, life's pattern is woven in just the same way, born of many different threads, meeting, merging, spinning out the small fabric of our existence. The March of Dimes is trying to create a better fabric of life, free from the tragedy of birth defects, a life which ensures every newborn the right to the most precious heritage of all, good health at birth. Medical service programs, scientific research, public education, all are part of the March of Dimes fight against this number one health problem for our nation's children. But a weaver, any weaver, needs help along the way, and birth defects are forever unless you help. Help weave a tomorrow full of bright promise for our next generation. A tomorrow without handicaps at birth. Please, give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
Our Miss Sarah Watson finds herself virtually alone on a small island off the lonely coast of northern Maine. And the truth, she feels like an island, isolated and alone. But wait, isn't it written that no man is an island? That there is a tie that binds all of us together? Yes, it's written. However, how about those people like Sarah Watson, who have no ties at all, no bonds to anyone? Well, that's what she thinks, but you never know.
She's dead. Mrs. Daimler is dead. I was talking to her earlier this evening. How could she...
It must have been the heart attack.
How could a woman with a cardiac condition perform all her duties as a housekeeper?
Ah, then, she didn't die of a heart attack.
Well, what did she die of?
Well, perhaps she died of a very dangerous disease, which I hope is not contagious.
What disease?
Indiscretion.
Well, if it was murder, I'm sure that you killed her.
Are you?
And you're going to have to call a doctor.
Why?
To sign the death certificate.
Who died?
Who died? Mrs. Daimler.
Oh, no, my dear. She didn't. She left here last week to live with relatives in the Far West.
But that's ridiculous.
Oh, I can prove it. Here's a copy of the local paper dated last week. You see this social note right here? You can read it.
Mrs. Augusta Daimler, for many years housekeeper to Mr. Edmund Gillespie on Rotherwood Island, has announced her retirement. She is leaving to live with relatives in Oregon. But that's...
It had become obvious a little while ago that Mrs. Daimler might become a problem. So last week we took the precaution of, being prepared.
Oh, you won't get away with this.
Get away with what? Now, why don't you get some rest, Miss Watson? You have a busy day tomorrow, and... Oh, yes, by the by, may I have the key?
What key?
To the book chain.
Let me see. I think I'll have, what do you suggest this evening?
Nothing.
Nothing?
It is a sin to waste good food. For the past weeks, you order, I serve, you do not touch, you are in love.
I have a feeling that she's in danger.
If you have a feeling, then it is true.
But I don't even know what to do about it.
You have no choice. You must save her. You have grounds for suspicion?
Yes.
And you sit here while your loved one is in peril.
Who says she's my loved one?
Why do you keep thinking about her? Now, I shall feed you enough to arm you for your journey.
But she's 2,000 miles from here.
Ah, love laughs at distance. And see, you are smiling already. Go to her. She wrote your name. She calls you. She needs you.
A dazzling morning, isn't it, Miss Watson?
I watched you and Mr. Spencer and those other men. And I saw you bury Mrs. Daimler.
At the risk of telling an old joke at a serious moment, we had to. Dead, you know.
Now, what are your plans for me?
Oh, well, that depends on you.
What am I supposed to do?
Just have Mr. Gillespie go on thinking you're Regina.
And what about the diamonds?
The diamonds. Well, you see, Mr. Gillespie was Regina Trumbull's guardian. Her father had entrusted him with $1 million worth of diamonds to be held for her until her 25th birthday. He fell in love with her, but she died in an accident. He went to pieces after that. He shut himself up on this island and, well, as you can see, he lost his mind.
Yes. And I'll tell you what else I see. I see that after a while, he started to get his mind back. But then you came into the picture. And you are making sure that he doesn't recover his sanity.
Why would I do that?
Because if you could get him to believe that I am Regina, he'll give me those diamonds. And then you can get your hands on them.
I must say, Miss Watson, you have an incisive mind.
The diamonds are hidden here somewhere. He won't tell you, and you can't force it out of him. So that's why you need me.
Oh, yes, you are vital.
Vital, meaning alive. How do you know you can trust me?
We would make it worth your while. We would give you a considerable sum of money.
Why should you do that? Why not just kill me?
Miss Watson, I am not in the murder business. I only will commit a crime when I have absolutely no alternative.
And how do I know that I can trust you?
You have no other route to travel.
So you think there's something going on over to Rutherford Island?
That's exactly what I think, Sheriff.
I must say, You don't give much evidence. None at all. Tell the truth.
Sheriff, I traveled almost 2,000 miles.
On a hunch. Well, what do you want me to do?
Find out if she's all right.
How?
Well, search the place.
Son, you've been watching too many movies. You don't trespass all over a man's property and turn his establishment inside out unless you got a search warrant.
Well, get a warrant.
Tell you what I'll do. Agatha, connect me with Rutherford Island, please. Thank you.
Well, what'll you accomplish by that?
We'll find out where we stand. Hello? Yes, sir. This is Sheriff Tate, to whom I'm speaking. Mr. Carberry?
He's the one who interviewed her in New York.
Do you have a Miss Sarah Watson working for you? Uh-huh. Yes.
Does he deny it?
I see. No. Just routine. Nothing at all. Much obliged, thank you. She ain't there.
She has to be there.
She left.
How could she leave? She had a 2-year contract.
She decided she didn't like the place. Too lonely.
When does he say she left?
2 days after she arrived.
Now, that's impossible. We would have known about it.
Why? She quit, that's all. Then she goes on to find another job. How do I know this all ain't a yarn on your part?
Why would I lie?
It's in style today. How do I know you're who you say you are?
Here is my card, and here's a copy of the contract that she signed.
Well, son, you let me study this here document.
But meanwhile, she can
Meanwhile, it's dark. And if I do decide to go to the island, I can't do it till morning.
But... Okay, forget it. Thank you very much.
Who is it?
Shh. No, don't turn on the light.
Who is it?
It's me, James Morton.
James Morton?
And the person you notified in case of trouble. Well, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Oh, James Morton.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I am in trouble.
Here I am.
How did you know?
I got a boat. I waited till dark, then I sneaked ashore, made it to the house. I watched you through the window, and I figured out which room was yours. Now, we are going to get out of here.
James Morton. Oh, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. Let's hurry.
It's a miracle. That's what it is. A miracle never happened to me before.
Well, me neither. Well, it's about time.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Polly. Don't move and don't talk. Mr. Spencer is an excellent shot, and at this range, how can he miss?
I think you're finished, Mr. Carberry. That's the sheriff.
Why would the sheriff come here?
Because I spoke to him earlier.
Well, then he won't find you here.
He'll find my boat.
No, Mr. Spencer already has it well hidden. And don't scream, Miss Watson. Mr. Spencer would shoot you immediately. Now, Mr. Spencer, suppose I see who was at the door. You have your instructions? Why, no, Sheriff. I haven't seen the young man.
Funny. I could have sworn he'd have come out here.
For what reason?
I wouldn't know. You say this Miss Watson left right after she got here?
That's right. We were completely incompatible.
How's Mr. Gillespie these days? We never see him.
Oh, poor old man. Still completely senile.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else I can do for you?
Yeah. You can produce both the girl and Mr. Morton.
Oh, wait a minute, Sheriff. I told you
that Lem Powers told me the young fellow rented a boat off of him just a while back and took off headed this way.
Well, I assure you, he never got here.
Oh, he got here, and the girl's here, too. There ain't no one here, huh? Okay, break it up now. Break it up.
That man, he tried to shoot me.
Well, looks like Mr. Spencer won't be able to say anything for a while.
I jumped at him. He fired.
They were going to kill us.
I know, but it's all going to be fine.
Mr. Carberry, where's Mr.?
He's probably figuring he can make a run for it. But he's got nowhere to go. I left a deputy on the dock.
Why did you... What made you come here, Sheriff?
Well, sounded like a wild yarn.
But then I read that contract you left me, the one your agency signed with Mr. Carberry.
Well, the contract, all it defined was what Mr. Carberry owed us in the event we filled his job. It's a standard agreement.
According to the agreement, he had to pay you 6% of $15,000. That's $900. If for any reason the applicant lasts less than a week, you have to refund him 2/3 of that amount. Now, if Miss Watson left what he claimed after a couple of days, you'd have owed him $600.
Well, that's right.
You never mentioned he claimed the money. And since you didn't, you assumed she was still here. Now, I don't know how it is down your part of the country, but there ain't one single solitary living soul up in these parts that let $600 sit there whistling. Well, I'll clear things up downstairs and give you a chance to talk to your girl.
My girl?
Belongs to you, don't she?
Well,
Of course I do. Why else would I have named him as the person to be notified?
Department of Loose Ends. An autopsy was performed on Mrs. Daimler. It was established that she was poisoned. Mr. Carberry and company will stand trial for that one. Mr. Gillespie was placed in a hospital where, with good care and treatment, he has a chance to recover all his faculties. At this writing, he still cannot remember where the diamonds are hidden. If I have to tell you what happened to Sarah and James, then you don't have an ounce of romance in your soul, and I give up. But only for a few moments.
Hello there, this is Jim Backus. You know, I asked my friend, Mr. Magoo, have you ever heard of the disease of prosperity? You probably have, only you've heard of it as heart attack. It's called the disease of prosperity because the risk factors that increase the chances of heart attack are usually the result of prosperous living condition. Childhood habits. Some children get in the habit of watching TV instead of exercising. Smoking often begins in the teens or sometimes even earlier. And by the time they reach middle age, many of them are overweight, inactive, and have high levels of cholesterol and other fatty substances in the blood. High blood pressure is also common at that age. Any one of these conditions or risk factors increases the chance of heart attack. A combination of two or more multiplies that risk. One way you can protect your heart is to see your doctor. Another way is to support your Heart Association's efforts to find more of the answers to heart attack. So give to the Heart Fund now. And thank you very much.
Actually, what we were talking about was not jobs or intrigue or murder, even though they were prominently featured. Our theme was loneliness. And it was a tale of so many people who really have no anchor to love and security in our world. And if you are one of the fortunates, if you can fill the space that says person to be notified, then you have the best of this world. If, on the other hand, you really can't fill that space, then go out and change that situation. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Russell Horton, Bryna Rayburn, Ian Martin, and Gilbert Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Just looking out that window there at the waterfall, twilight coming on as it is. If I didn't know better, I could swear I could see the Lady of the Mist peering through there like it was a veil or a curtain.
Now, come along, Giles. I don't know what's come over you.
Oh, just remembering and hoping she's resting easy now.
Who?
Her. What puts the water madness on you like she did to poor Sir Charles' first wife?
Oh, Giles, nobody knows if the woman really ever existed. It's all just folk legend.
Oh, she existed all right. You'll never convince me or any of the plain folk hereabout she didn't. Lonely she is, calling people across the veil to the other side to keep her company.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sign-Off, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. Night and morning fog becoming partly sunny tomorrow afternoon with increasing high cloudiness late tomorrow and an increasing chance of rain tomorrow night and Thursday. Highs near 50, lows in the mid-30s. In downtown Seattle, currently it's 37 degrees, the barometer rising and reads 30.33.
Difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. There are new published reports saying the government may want to prosecute former President Nixon for tax fraud. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The reports appear in the New York Times and the Washington Post. The Post says the Internal Revenue Service now believes it can show Mr. Nixon had prior knowledge that a document he used to claim a $450,000 tax deduction was illegally backdated. The Post says that if fraud is proven against the former president, he would have to pay a tax deficiency of $149,000 plus a penalty of $74,000. Late Tuesday night, IRS officials were contacted about the reports. They would neither confirm nor deny them. More news in a moment.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and postnasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed. Only as directed.
Hi, world. Denny Bracken. And this big fella here with me is, of course, himself, Mike Roy. What's brewing for the cook thing on CBS tomorrow, Michael?
Well, it's not so much brewing as it is kind of arranging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about the pretty little things that make your dinner complete.
Oh, like a blonde, 5'2".
Well, that's a nice garnish.
Nice,
yeah.
Yes, huh?
Trimmer with a raisin or something like that. Now, we're talking about fruit and foliage and all the goodies that make the table look nice.
Yes, it will be a family program tomorrow, friends, on Mike Roy's cooking thing, of course, here on CBS.
The civil war in Lebanon is getting more serious. There are reports Muslim and Palestinian forces have captured large sections of the country in their battles with the Lebanese army and right-wing Christian forces. There was one report saying a second brigade of Palestinian troops crossed the border from Syria into Lebanon. The fighting in Beirut has taken on the ugly and grimly familiar aspects of modern urban warfare. John Sheehan got a first-hand look.
At a Muslim roadblock, I saw drivers, apparently Christian, pulled out of their cars and thrown down in the street. While one was down, a gunman ran up from behind and jumped on him with both feet. Another stood trembling and pleading in the street. Random shots were being fired in the air by several gunmen. The man turned, pleading toward our car for help, for support of some kind. There was nothing we could do. The gunmen were checking our papers and holding us too. The terrified man was put back in his car, and one of the gunmen, screaming with hatred, started shooting out the tires with a submachine gun. The man in the car held up his hands at the open window, pleading for his life. The gunman ordered us to drive on, and I don't know what happened to the man in the other car. The paralyzing scene was typical of the lawlessness in the streets of Lebanon. John Sheehan, CBS News, Beirut.
Former Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter says he's not going to get too excited yet about his coming out on top in that Iowa precinct caucus. Carter says he's not claiming to be the front runner in the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. One of his rivals, Governor George Wallace of Alabama, went to Boston Tuesday night. Earlier, it was a busy day campaigning in Illinois. A report from Emery King of station WBBM in Chicago.
Governor Wallace says he doesn't expect to get much black support because of propaganda about his views toward blacks. When asked if he felt he was generally viewed as a racist in the black community, Wallace questioned what was meant by the term racist.
If you mean somebody that doesn't like somebody because of the way they are made, well, that's not true. I wasn't raised that way. And whether you believe it or not, and so many leaders in our country today, black leaders, will tell you that the best place to live for black people is in the South, in Alabama.
Wallace made stops in Springfield, Peoria, and Chicago in his first campaign swing through Illinois before the presidential preference primary March 16th. Emery King for CBS News, Chicago.
President Ford Wednesday sends his budget to Congress. In his State of the Union message Monday night, the president says he wants to increase defense spending and cut down on social welfare programs. Italy has closed its foreign exchange market until further notice in order to defend the lira against massive speculation, which has been going on since the collapse of the government 2 weeks ago. Now this.
America is celebrating its 200th birthday. Metropolitan Life has had more than 100. Which birthday are you approaching? At Metropolitan, we'd like to remind you that years and birthdays always pass by sooner than you think. If you want to be ready for the future, you have to prepare for it now. We've spent over a century helping people do just that, and your Metropolitan Insurance representative can do the same for you.
We're helping 40 million people.
In Moscow a few hours from now, Secretary of State Kissinger and Soviet Communist Party Chairman Leonid Brezhnev will sit down to begin their latest round of talks on nuclear arms limitations. Kissinger arrived in Moscow on Tuesday. The two officials will also be discussing such problem areas as Angola and Lebanon. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI.